Good morning. I have the privilege of bringing God's Word to you today from the Scriptures. And we'll be opening our Bibles and turning to them in just a few minutes. And also we'll be spending a few minutes in prayer. But I'd like to start out with a story that I heard once about a young man who was preparing to go on a long journey. And he told his friend, "I'm just about packed. I only have to put in a guidebook, a mirror, a microscope, and a telescope. A volume of old poetry, a fine poetry, a package of old letters, a few biographies, a book of songs, a sword, a lamp, a hammer, and a set of books I've been studying." And his friend said to him, "But you can't put all that into your suitcase." "Oh, yes, I can," he said. With that, he took his Bible, put it into the corner of his suitcase, and closed the lid. Is there ever a point in our walk with the Lord in terms of our knowledge of this book where we can say we have arrived? Can we ever take in enough Scripture? "Oh, I've had enough. I've read so much. I've read so many books. I've read so many fine authors. I've heard the best sermons. I've been to seminars. I've had all the Scripture I can take. I've memorized my Bible verses. I can't take any more." I hope you're not in that situation. It doesn't work that way. I suggest to you, if you have lost your enthusiasm, if you have lost your zeal and passion for this book, God's revelation to us, you have lost your way and lost your love for life itself. We have only begun to scratch the surface of all that this book has to offer us. And maybe you've made this experience, I hope you have, where you read a chapter of Scripture, or you read a psalm or a Proverbs, a chapter in the Proverbs or a verse, and say, "I never saw that before. I saw something in the Bible today I've never seen before. That is so interesting. I have to think about that. I want to meditate that. I wonder what impact that can have on my life." God does not want his people to stand still in the Christian life. He does not want you to stand still. He does not want me to sit still. Scripture is important to propelling us forward. Now, in your bulletin, shifting gears here just for a second, in your bulletin, you will find an insert. Open up your bulletin and pull out this insert that says TCBC Church Covenant. What I'm going to share with you now is related to what I've been talking about, because we are launching a series of messages called Recommit to the Body. Recommit to the Body. And Scripture, recommitting to Scripture, is one important, essential life part of our lives together here in the body of Christ at this church. If you are a member of this church, and I hope some of you who aren't members yet will consider joining, this covenant spells out our responsibilities as members. But I like to look at it as our privileges as members in the body of Christ. Do you remember that story? I think it's 2 Kings, where Josiah rediscovers the book of the law in the temple. Do you know that story? We felt that way about a month ago. We were talking about the need for a church covenant, and somebody said, "Oh, well, there is a church covenant. It's in the back of our hymn book. the hymn books that we haven't used for years. We found the church covenant. He said, we have a church covenant. Let's renew this. Let's reestablish this. Let's reaffirm our commitment to this. And we made a few minor changes. I'm going to read through it now for you. Our church covenant. Having received Christ as my Lord and Savior, I commit to the following ministry principles as I serve Christ in His church. To protect the unity of the church by acting in love toward other members. By following the God-ordained membership, leadership. By following the God-ordained leadership. To share the responsibilities of my church by praying for its growth. By seeking the salvation of those around me. By giving regularly. To serve the ministry of my church by using my spiritual gifts for the building up of the body. By continuing to grow in the knowledge of God's Word. By developing a servant's heart. By maintaining private worship. By observing the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. And to support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully and by living a godly life. This covenant is a compact, is an agreement among us between me and the rest of the body, between you, if you are a member, and the rest of the body of Christ at TKK Baptist Church. So before we approach God's Word, would you bow your hearts with me for a few moments in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come to you today. I know that many of us have a heavy heart. I pray that you teach us and show us the way to give our cares over to you, Lord. We need to get a picture of you, a vision of you, high and lifted up on your throne, shining in the light of your glory. Help us to let go of our cares so we can turn our attention to your word and not so much the words of this message, but your words in the Bible, that they can take root in our lives and find fertile soil and a home where your word can dwell richly, that you can dwell richly in our hearts. For we ask in Jesus' name, amen. So I would like to ask you today to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll be studying 2 Timothy chapter 3. It's on the little handout. There's a little bulletin insert where you can take notes. I'm going to be starting at verse 10. We'll be reading through verses 10 through 17 and studying, seeing what these verses have to say to us. So would you read along in your translation? I'm reading from the New American Standard. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. But you followed my teaching, conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, and out of all of them the Lord delivered me. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have known, you have learned, and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy, the last letter written by the Apostle Paul in a Roman prison, staring death in the jaws, the last of his 13 letters, passing the baton to his beloved disciple, Timothy, strengthening him in the faith, and not only for him, but for us too. Verse 10, you, Timothy, and you, believers here at Tigahee Baptist Church, Timothy faithfully followed Paul's teaching. And they record it here for us to know them. Believers, make yourself at home in the Scriptures. Stay in them. Verse 11 tells us why. Why should we continue in the Scriptures? Because of their great doctrines about God. Wonderful teachings about the triunity of God, the person and work of Christ, His ascension to heaven, His return. But there are some very disturbing teaching doctrines that make us very, very uncomfortable. Paul talking about boasting about his sufferings, repeated over and over. Look what happened to me from one city to the next. Flogged in public, stoned, left for dead, left to wash in the ocean. That wasn't the half of it. We don't have time to rehearse it all today, but read the book of Acts. Read 2 Corinthians. Read the letters of Paul to know what he suffered, because he is the role model for our faith. And in verse 12, there is a promise. A promise from God. Persecution will happen. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. No, I think there might be a loophole. Well, just don't live godly in Christ Jesus. Just live a complacent life. You've got your ticket to heaven. You're not trying to make waves. Satan might leave you alone. But if you stick your neck out and live boldly for Christ, you will be a target. You will be persecuted. It is part of the package. Even secular news sources today talk about increasing persecution in the church. Many claim that there is more persecution in the church today than ever before in the 2,000 years of church history. And we're beginning to see signs of it in this country. I don't want to diminish some of what we've been hearing in the news over the past years. But I don't want to blow them out of proportion either. But the committed believer, sooner or later, you will experience opposition and difficulties if you live boldly, stand boldly for your faith and love. So if you're taking notes today on the piece of paper you have in your bulletin, I'm going to give you 10 reasons. I'm going to 10 arguments why you and I should recommit to reading, studying, learning, and applying the Word of God. Number one, we must recommit to the Word because it is the means by which we endure persecution. We must recommit to the Word because it is the means by which we endure persecution. There is a promise. But based on Paul's example, Paul said, God delivered me out of all of them, and He will deliver us too. That is a promise. And there are people in this church that can tell you stories about the opposition that they have endured because of their commitment to Christ. Maybe you have a story. If you do, share it with somebody. The Scriptures fortify us. They give us the means to endure. And if not outright persecution, yes, there will be suffering. There will be discipline. God promises us to that the discipline of the Lord is proof to us that we really are His children. You can rejoice. Rejoice when we suffer. Rejoice when God makes life hard for us, when we have experienced pain, because that is proof that God loves us and He's working in us to shape us into the people He wants us to be. And in verse 13, we read about evil men and imposters. We know from Scripture, we know from 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy that social circumstances will continue to worsen and that there will be false teachers and that people will be less open to the gospel. As long as we have the chance to preach, preach, because the time will come when people will simply want to hear their ears tickled. And I don't claim to be a prophet. I don't claim to be able to interpret the signs of the times. But I believe circumstances will continue to get worse before they get better. They won't get better until Christ returns. We can continue to be optimistic as long as we have breath, as long as we can share the gospel. And there are those who say that God is most active, that He's busiest in the global south today, in the east, less so than in the west. But as long as we have the opportunity, let's bring words of life to everybody in every circumstance. Verse 13 also talks about imposters, those wolves in sheep's clothing. Look again at verse 13. They are deceivers. They are those who lead us astray with a mixture of truth and error. But they themselves are also deceived. They are as deceived as the people they are trying to deceive, and they will become more and more prevalent. A church, how do you tell a false dollar bill? How do you distinguish a counterfeit dollar bill? How do you know if a dollar bill is a fake dollar bill? You become familiar with real dollar bills. You get to know the real thing when you spend time in this word and get to know this book. You will be able to discern and say, something is not quite right about that teaching. I don't like what that person is saying, because you know the real thing. And that's how you tell the counterfeits. So number two, if you're taking notes, number two, we must recommit to the word because it is a safeguard against false doctrine. Recommit to the word because it is a safeguard against false doctrine. Don't be fooled. Remember that old song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. And be careful what you read. And be careful the books you read. Be discerning. And I'd like to encourage you to be especially cautious about watching Christian TV. It is an area that is often abused. Read the Word of God. Take it literally. I'll let you know there is no office of prophet today. God is not giving us new special revelation today. We have all we need in the Bible. Don't believe anybody who says they know when Christ is going to return. They know when the world is going to end. God and God alone knows that. No one today has a hotline to God. And don't listen to anybody who says that God wants you to be happy, God wants you to be healthy, God wants you to be rich, God wants you to have this, God wants you to have that. If only you will have enough faith. God promises to give us today the things we need for today. So adhere to the Word of God, Timothy, you, verse 14, you, Timothy, but you, TKE Baptist Church, continue in the things you have learned. Everybody here has been taught. We have been taught by pastors. We have been taught, many of us, by our parents growing up, continue in that process. Verse 15, and from childhood, Timothy had been taught. From childhood, many of you have been taught. That's why we teach our children here at TKK Baptist Church and Sunday School. Verse 3, we must recommit to the Word because it is the means by which we come to know God. It is the means by which we have come to know God. From childhood, Timothy was taught the Scriptures by his parents. It was customary among the Jews from the age of 5 to teach them the Torah, to teach them the law of Moses. They began to memorize it. And Timothy, the son of a Jewish mother and a Gentile father, was taught by his mother and taught by his grandmother from childhood. He learned the great promises of the Messiah. He learned about the coming one who was to come and redeem Israel. And now in the first century, through Paul, and we read this in the New Testament, Jesus has come, that Messiah has come, and we learn so much more about him. We learn so much more that was not revealed in the Old Testament. We come to know God through the Scriptures. We get saved through. The Scriptures make us wise. They make us wise. They wisen us up. It's not just the right thing to do to believe. It's not just the right thing to do to obey God. It is the wise thing to do. It is the smartest thing to do. The more we understand it, the more we will want to obey God, the more we will believe. And we come to verse 16. I'm going to camp here for a while because this verse is so central to everything we believe about the Scriptures. Verse 16. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Even in Paul's day, they were beginning to realize that God was doing something new, that these writings, letters of the New Testament, were also inspired, not just the Old Testament, but these New Testament Scriptures also. And so number four, we must recommit to the Word because it has its very source in God Himself. We must recommit to the Word because it has its very source in God Himself. Now, the authority of the Bible for people like us here at this church could almost become a cliche. We could almost become complacent. Well, of course the Bible is the Word of God. Everybody knows the Bible is the Word of God. Well, what's the big deal about that? We can never become nonchalant about this. Because the truth of this book has been under continual attack ever since Genesis chapter 3, when the serpent said to Eve, "Indeed, has God said." People have always cast doubt upon this book. And that, put your finger in verse 16 upon that one word. Look at that word, inspired. Now, your translation might say given by inspiration. It might say breathed out by God. It might say God breathed. And the Jews had always believed that the Scriptures were inspired. And now Paul nails it. This is the one verse in Scripture where the Scripture declares of itself that it is inspired by God. It is entirely trustworthy because God has given it to us. He spoke through human authors who were carried along by the Holy Spirit, like a sailboat being moved along by the wind. And the Bible is also profitable to us. Profitable to us. Useful. Useful to us. Is there anybody here that wants to lose money? Does any of you want to throw your money away? No, you want to make a profit. And we gain benefit from God's word as we know it and apply it in our lives day by day, more and more. First, the scriptures are profitable for teaching. And this is number 5 on my list, if you're taking notes. We must recommit to the word because it contains the truth about God and his will for us. The scriptures show us the right pathway for our lives, the way of peace and fellowship with God, harmony with our fellow man. Psalm 19:10, they are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. And number 6, we must recommit to the word because it is a mirror to point out our sin. I don't know if I like that. Do you like that? Do you like your sin to be pointed out to you? We must recommit to the word because it is a mirror to point out our sin. That word reproof or rebuke means to convict. It could also be translated as convict. Conviction comes through the word of God. God wants to use the scriptures in your life and in mine, to convince us of those areas where we're falling short of His glory. To reprove means to reflect. The Bible is like a mirror. It reflects our lives back to us. Shows us how we should be living and who we really are, how we really are living. Oh, it's time to go to church. Take my shower. Ooh, check in the mirror. I've got to comb my hair. It's flopping all over the place. Oh, I've got some toothpaste smeared all around my mouth. Oh, that's not good. You've got to get rid of that toothpaste. Little issues in our lives. Things that we're not quite doing right. Things that are wrong. Things that need to be repaired, rectified. To reprove also means to illuminate. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Shows us when we've gotten off the right path, when we're on the wrong path. Shows us the obstacles in our path, often our own, almost always our own failures, our own sinful habits, our own sins that we haven't dealt with. Some years back, I visited a friend of mine in New Jersey. I didn't grow up. I grew up on the West Coast. Spent almost all my time in Washington State, Oregon, British Columbia, occasionally to California. I spent 7 years in Germany to come back to this country. Finally started to get around and get to know more of this great country. And I had an invitation from a friend of mine who lived in New Jersey back in the 1990s, went out to visit my friend Irving. He's a messianic leader of a messianic congregation of Jewish and Gentile people who believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And he had a strange custom that I didn't understand. We'd go out for dinner at night, out to a movie or something, see some friends, and came back. Wait, don't open the door. Don't open the door. He would always keep a shoe outside the apartment and very stealthily open the lock, quickly open the door as quick as he could, turn the light on, wham! As soon as the cockroach came out, he'd wham! Beat down those cockroaches, because if you were too slow, as soon as they saw the light, they would scurry away. The light of God's word exposes sin. It shows sin for what it really is. And when we experience the reproof of God, it can be a little painful. It can sting a little bit. And I found it to be most gentle when it comes through the Word of God, reflection, meditation, and the Word of God. God speaks through my conscience in a still small voice and says, "Do you know, David, I think what you said a few minutes ago was not quite right. You did something the other day. Well, it's really not really what you should have done. Oh, thank you, Lord, for pointing that out to me. I need to deal with that. Another time, other times, another believer may directly confront us. And then it can sting. It can hurt. But is that always such a bad thing? We put a little bit of medicine on the word, on the wound, it might sting a little bit. That can be good. A.W. Tozer said, it is doubtful whether man can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. I'll read that again. It is doubtful whether God can bless a man greatly until he has hurt him deeply. But rebuke, God's scolding us, that's not the end. Number 70, we must recommit to the word because it will get us back on the right track. We must recommit to the word because it will get us back on the right track. The scriptures are useful for correction. They have the power to rectify our faults, to restore us, to heal our crushed and broken spirits, to renew this church, to get this church headed again in the right direction with the Lord. And finally, in verse 16, the scriptures are useful for training in righteousness. Number 8, we must recommit to the word because it provides practical training. Practical training for the Christian worker. Training in righteousness is literally divine child rearing. God is raising us as his children. And as we grow in the knowledge of our God's word and in obedience to him, we will be able to minister more effectively here in the body of Christ. Whatever spiritual gift you have helps, faith, serving, teaching, evangelism, mercy. There are many other gifts. As we grow in God, God will be able to use us in greater and greater ways. And the ultimate goal of equipping is for the building up of this church, for our growth qualitatively as we mature in Christ, and also quantitatively as we build up our body numerically as we reach out to the world around us with the light of Jesus Christ. A great temple where God can dwell, a household of believers. And finally, number 10, we must recommit to the word so that we can be blessed and bless others. Simply enough, recommit to the word so we can bless. We can be blessed and bless others. Prosper spiritually. Be happy in Jesus. Be the people. Become the people. Useful servants. Christian workers that God wants us to be. Well, I hope you're convinced by now that by coming to church and hearing a sermon that will never be enough to satisfy your need for the Word of God. I've done the best I can to open up one passage of Scripture to you, and you will be the judge of how well I've succeeded. But check it out for yourself. And your application this morning should be obvious. I encourage you to get into the habit of spending some time every day in God's Word. If you're out of the habit, do anything you can to renew that. Billy Graham used to say, start with the Psalms. Start with the Psalms and Proverbs. You read 5 Psalms a day, you can read through them in 1 month. You read 1 chapter of the book of Proverbs, you can read through the book of Proverbs in 1 month. Martin Luther used to say that the Psalms was the Bible in miniature. Read the Word of God. Or come to church early. Join a Sunday school class. Join one of our home fellowship groups that meet during the week. Get into the Word so that the Word can get into you. Yes, the Bible is a guidebook to show us the way to Christ. It is a mirror to reflect our lives back to us, a microscope so we can see things up close, a telescope that peers far into the future, a volume of fine poetry of men pouring out their hearts to God, a package of old letters by the early church given to us to bless us to touch our lives today, a few biographies telling the greatest story of the greatest man who ever lived, a book of songs of praises to the Most High God, a sword to touch the most sensitive nerves and expose the hidden secrets of our heart, a lamp to light our way as we move forward with Christ, and a hammer that God wants to use to shape us into the people that God wants us to be if we will let Him. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word. We ask that You take these words, and indeed, Lord, we ask You to take Your holy word, use it in our lives to bless us so we can grow and become the people You want us to be and live for You, for Your honor and glory's sake, for we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Ask whatever you want and it will be done to you. My Father.